It's the 2nd of April. We got the audio recording working, and now let's get this guy working. How do you do this again? Where is it? Record to the cloud. Here we go.
This meeting is being recorded.
Okay, welcome. It's the 2nd of April, and thank you all for coming. We have a lot to do today, of course. We have a lot to do every day. I have most of you all muted, and if I start hearing things in the background, I'll run and mute you. But it's a good idea for you to mute your audio and your video. If you mute your video, then that will reduce the amount of bandwidth that's being used. So Andres is, he just muted. And I'm going to mute my video because you don't need to see me. I haven't been doing... I am joining the group where I'm not even getting... I got a t-shirt on. So I'm gonna mute my own video because you don't need to see me anymore. You see my little picture there. But so today we're going to finish up chapter 6, review chapter 6, go through the worksheet number 2, review anything in chapter 5, maybe go through a couple of the worksheets in chapter 5 to discuss the calculations from chapter 5, the calculations from chapter 6. We'll discuss the assignment sheets and the exam. And then if we have time, we have an additional presentation that is not going to be on the exam, will show you where we would go from here, because the concepts in chapter 6 are very, very powerful, and they resonate across all types of investments. The idea of a discounted stream of future cash flows, a present value of future cash flows. So it's a little bit open-ended, folks. If you want me to stop doing what I'm doing and say, well, I want to go here. I want to make sure we understand what's ready for the exam, I will do that. So before we start, who's got a good joke? Anybody? Not too many jokes. And did you notice that Google yesterday normally would have a April Fool's joke and on their webpage, and they didn't do it. They said, it's not too good for a joke these days. But we were discussing the Battle of the Sexes jokes. And I think I remember telling you about the guy who walked into the bar, was very sad, and then told you about the woman who was excited. Well, there was this one gentleman who just bought a brand new sports car. He's so proud of himself. Stop me if I told you this one already. And he is out on the road, taking it through its paces. He's what this thing can do. He's on the freeways doing 80, and I think he's really got the wind blowing through his hair. And all of a sudden, he sees the red light in the rearview mirror. And oh my goodness! Oh, the insurance is already so expensive. I'm going to run this cop. So he stomps on it and goes up to 100. He's really frightened, and the cop car is going to do 150. So now the cop is behind him. He's got the siren, and he's yelling through the microphone, "Pull over, Joker!" So the guy pulls over, and he figures, "I'll act real sorry, contrite. I'm sorry, officer." Well, the cop is really, really upset. He says, "Buddy, you better have a good reason why you tried to run me, or you're going to jail." And the guy says, "Well, officer, last week my wife ran away with a cop." And the officer looks at him and says, "So? I thought you were trying to bring her back." You see, he thought the cop was trying to bring his wife back, so he ran away. I guess you had to beat her. I like that one. don't worry. We insult everybody. We'll insult the guys next time. Okay, so let's get started. I'm going to share the screen now with here it is right here, the Yahoo Finance. And you know what, folks? We're holding our own, even considering how volatile, the volatility is real, the markets have been. We are basically down about 27%, and everybody's in the red, obviously. But it's been a real roller coaster of a ride, and I don't think it's done yet. People think it's going to go down to 50%. Down 50%, which is not atypical for a serious bear market. So we'll see what happens, of course, but we're not selling anything because it's not real money anyway. But if you want to see, if you want to think, make yourself feel better, take a look at what where is it? It's up here, I'm sorry. Take a look at what the investment club did, and they took some real big gambles, and they're down 35%. As this was unfolding, some of them said, let's buy Boeing because of the 737 MAX, and let's buy Royal Caribbean Cruises. Because of the, everybody was, the cruise companies were all down really far, and they've gone down even further. And then this one is an airport authority based in Mexico. They have the airport for Puerto Vallarta and Guadalajara, and I think a few other places on the West Coast. And they got hammered too because of everybody not all of a sudden just not going to Mexico anymore. I didn't go. I was supposed to go to Zihuatanejo and I didn't go. So it could be a lot worse, couldn't it? Instead of being down 27%, we could be down 35%. But the market has been incredibly volatile, and we just let it ride and we don't worry about it because it's not real money anyway. But as for me, I can tell you, my wife and I, we moved a lot of our stuff to more middle-of-the-road conservative stuff for older people, and that has held up actually pretty well. That's down about 15%, 12. One is down like 14, another one's down 12%. But the other ones that I've kept around, they're down 20, 25% too. So everything is, everybody's getting hammered, and you just ride it out, unless you believe the world is going to end, in which case it doesn't really matter. All right, now, one mea culpa, one pardon. I forgot that Tuesday was actually a holiday for Southwestern. I forgot that, and one of the students said, did you really have class? Yes, we did have class, and I did announce it. I apologize because I wasn't supposed to, I guess. I don't know. But I guess it's online, so you can do pretty much whatever you want. But remember, they are always being recorded. They're being recorded. So if you go to the website, you'll see, here's the website, you'll see that we recorded, there's chapter 6, we recorded the presentation for March 31st, 2 days ago, using not only the audio, but we also used Zoom. Here are the recording sessions for Zoom, which means that you're going to see basically what we just did here. So you can go through it on your own at any time, and barring any unforeseen technical problems, today we're going to do exactly the same thing. Okay, so if you want, we will go through the dividend discount models yet again, and the worksheet number, did we go through worksheet number 2? I thought we went through, oh, we did go through worksheet number 2. So we're going to go through worksheet number 2 again. Maybe we should go through worksheet number 1. I think we did worksheet number 1 also. So we did the worksheet number 1 online teleconference last week in the Thursday sessions. So some of you went through that, and so you'll see that there if you wanted to go through the worksheet number 1 online teleconferencing session. Remember, it's basically what you're seeing now. You're going to see Zoom. Let's take a look at it. And it actually has a transcript there, and it does a pretty good job. So you'll see me.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to mute my video.
You see me, and you see the transcript. And so it's actually pretty powerful. So my apologies. I thought we hadn't gone through worksheet number 2, but I guess we did go through. We'll do it again. All right. Now, what else? So let's hold my agenda. So, okay. Why don't we discuss first the exam? So the exam is starting tonight online. If you go into, the problem is if I go into Canvas, you're going to see something that looks very different than what I'll see because I'm the teacher. But you'll see two exams in the quizzes section. So why don't we go into Canvas? It'll look different. My apologies. than what you see, but it'll be very much similar. So I gotta log in first. Okay. I'm not using the normal browser that I use because of the documents we want to download. But see, there I am logged in, and now I see this is what I have to do. You have your own to-do list, but this is what I have to do. And if you go down to our class, you'll see the quizzes over here on the left, and you'll see more than what you're supposed to see. But see, those are the rest of the quizzes. But here they are. Chapter 5, Introduction to Stocks. This is all the material that we went through in Chapter 5. That study guide, study it, you know, over and over again. All the different aspects of stocks, dividends, capital gains, all the different types of transactions, the types of stocks, the markets, New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, market capitalization, price-to-earnings ratio, that worksheet, dividend payout ratio, dividend yield. And so that's a lot of material right there. But then that's the first part. That is basically the true-false. That's the Scantron portion, right? It's basically the Scantron portion. You have 70 minutes to do 46 questions. Please don't get stuck on any one question. Keep moving. If your English skills are not the best, please have somebody there to help you translate to understand the question. Don't, you know, make sure you do the answers, but just so you understand the question. Now, the second part here, chapters 5 and 6, second part, stock calculations, that is a worksheet that is very similar to the worksheets that we did in chapter 5 and 6. There's going to be a few questions from chapter 5, how to calculate price-to-earnings ratio, dividend payout ratio, dividend yield, market capitalization. But then the rest of the calculations will be exactly the same as the worksheets in Chapter 6. So the price ratio, in the same order, price ratio models, dividend discount models, the zero growth model, constant perpetual, and then the discounted cash flow model. So you turn this one in as if you were turning in an assignment. Print it out. Work on it, scan it in, or do it as a document. You can do it as a document, like as I did the worksheets. And then you're going to submit it as if it were an assignment. You're going to basically upload it to the system. Okay, so you have until Sunday to do that. But please, please, please don't wait until Sunday night to do both. Because what Canvas does is it'll kick you out. At 11:59 or 55 or whatever I set it for, I usually set it for 11:59 and tell you 11:55. Canvas will stop you, unlike Blackboard, the old system, which let you go, but then just snitched that you went overtime. Oh, by the way, Canvas is a bit of a snitch. If you are in the middle of the exam and then you leave that page and then come back, it tells me that you did that. It says, "Oh, this person's been." Because they're trying to stop you from going to Google and typing in stuff and searching for it, or going to your PowerPoint or whatever. So I know there's some people who get really upset about the fact that we are allowing people to take exams online without any proctoring. But I found that very, very few students actually cheat. It's only a few. And they usually don't do a very good job of it. Some do a pretty good job of cheating, but most don't. You can basically see, oh, they went to Investopedia and just copied and pasted that definition or whatever. So please contact me. That's why we're here. We want you to succeed. Okay, now, we had gone through the value line. They finished up on Tuesday the dividend discount models, the discounted cash flow model, the most powerful, in my humble opinion. And then we took a look at the value line. Now, we could go through that again. We could run through those again, or we could go right to worksheet number 2 and just go attack worksheet number 2. I am more inclined to go through the worksheet yet again because that's so important for our understanding. So unless I start seeing, if anybody raises their hand and has any ideas, the problem is I can't see your, unless I stop the share. I'll stop the share right now and see if I got it. And so, if anybody writes in the chat, what are your wants? What are your feelings and thoughts? I'm going to type this in the chat. Worksheet number 2. What? That's an H in front of it. Worksheet. Oh, is Vincent? Vincent's here. I wish it would show me this at the same time it shows me the. Okay, we're not getting anybody. Worksheet number 2. Go back through chapter 6 again. Finish up with the discounted cash flow models. I'm thinking worksheet number 2. Worksheet number 1, Justice. Okay, after class, Justice, I'll stick around. After class at 10 o'clock, that's when I normally have the office hour. And we'll do worksheet number 1 again. But worksheet number 2, they're basically the same thing. So people are saying, yeah, let's do the worksheet. So let's do the worksheet. Okay, so go back to sharing the screen. Okay, now, if you haven't learned how to do this yet, it's pretty straightforward. All the documents are using Google Docs. So I'm going to show you how I do it. Is this the right one? Yeah. I'm going to say worksheet number 2, okay? Now, notice I already had it up there, but that's okay. The first time you click on it, first you have to have a Google account. You don't have to. You don't really have to, but you should have a Google account. This is not the Google account I use for my schoolwork. This is the Google account I use for personal stuff. So, I'm logged in my Google account there. And notice that you only have a few options. You cannot edit this. This is view only. And here it says you can request edit access. But don't do this, because if you do, I'm just going to send you back an email saying, no, this is the original. I want you to make a copy or download as. So some people like to use Word or Worst or Weird or whatever it's called. And they do download as a Microsoft Word document. Or they might have LibreOffice or OpenOffice. And you can always download as a PDF. But if you have a Google account, you can say make a copy, and now it will be copied to your drive. Now they give you, 15 gigabytes or some outrageous amount of for free. And so I'm going to leave it at the incredibly demonstrative. Uh-oh, my internet connection is unstable. Why is that? Name of a copy of worksheet number 2. So okay. Let's make this a little smaller and see if that helps. Okay, I'm going to see now. Notice I have all the edit. So I'm going to now view. Here it is. I'm sorry, dude. Stop it. I'm going to go to. Okay, something. I guess my internet is unstable. Okay, so I'm going to. Now I can edit this thing all I want. How do I get rid of this? There we go. Get rid of it. Okay. No, it's not allowing me to go get rid of it. Okay. So now I can edit this all I want. And so hopefully you will have, is that the, that's worksheet. That's the, okay, get rid of that. I'm going to get rid of that guy. Here's the formula sheets. Here are the formula sheets. And then here's the, so this is where I need to be right here. I'm going to get rid of Yahoo. I'm going to get rid of stuff. And hopefully that will help me with my connections here. Okay, so let's go to, all right. So there's worksheet number 2. And then hopefully, I gave you the packet. You have valuation formulas here. The valuation formulas that we'll copy and paste from. And then also here's the present value tables. So you have those in your packet. So please refer to those. So now, let's read the start worksheet number 2. The price of the Walt Disney Company is currently $117 per share. Now, we could be bouncing back and forth between Yahoo, but what we'll find is that some of these, they've fallen quite a bit. I haven't checked you can check on your phone or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that that Disney is not $117 per share. That's what it was back in February when we did these. Their earnings per share is $5.94. Earnings are $5.94. The 5-year average PE is 19. So now if Disney's earnings are expected to grow 10% next year, what would you expect their price to be next year? So the model works like this. The expected price, okay, the expected price is equal to the historical price to earnings per share times the earnings per share times whatever we expect it to grow, 1 plus the growth rate. Now, some people say, well, where do you get this historical price to earnings per share? Well, I told you right here. It's in the assignment. But if you're going to do the Chapter 6 bonus assignment, you're going to calculate that. You're going to go to ValueLine, or I'm not sure who else you would use these days because the libraries are all closed. But I sent you some copies of the ValueLine. ValueLine was very kind as to let us do this during these crazy times because we have a subscription with them, but nobody can get into the library. And you're going to go back and see the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years worth of data. So you can calculate the average PE over the last 5 years. So the average PE over the last 5 years was 19. And we multiply that times the current earnings per share, $5.94. And then we multiply that times the expect 1 plus whatever we expect it to grow by. Now, if you haven't figured this out yet, this is 1 plus 0.1, 0.10, so that's 1.10. So make sure we understand that, why this 1.1, because this is really 100%, because that's what 1 is, 100%. So it's 100% plus 10% or 1.10, but we type it like this, 1.1 plus 10%. So now I'm going to do the calculation. Some of you should do it too. I'm going to pick up my trusty calculator. 19 times 5.94 times 1.1, and we get $124 and basically 15 cents. This would be a dollar sign. $124.146. Anybody get that? Anybody get something different? Just scream and holler. That's what I got. So about $124. Which, if the price is $117, that's not bad. Let's run. I'm going to, just for giggles, I'm going to run to Yahoo. Although I shouldn't, because Yahoo is such a pain in the neck. This is a mistake. I know it is. But let's try it. Disney. Yeah, it did work that time. Okay, sometimes it just stops and says, no. Yeah, see, it's $96. So Disney's taking quite a bit of a haircut right now. Is it going to go lower? I don't know. But I do know that I think after this is all over, Disney will still be around and people will be still buying their videos for their kids and buying the junk ancillary products for their children and going to Disney World and Disneyland and whatever. Okay, so that was... Okay, here we go. So now I'm starting... This is interesting. Now I'm finally seeing people on the right-hand side. I don't know why I didn't see, but now I see it. Strange. Okay. Strange how that works. Okay, I'm not sure I'm understanding everything. You folks are still seeing the screen, I'm assuming. Yeah, because it says I'm still sharing. But now it just disappeared. Figure that one out. I don't understand why it's showing up and then disappearing. Okay, so now that was the price to earnings model. The price to cash flow model, the price to sales model are exactly the same. These are exactly the same as the price to earnings model. So if we go to the formula, you'll see that everything's the same except in this case it's the price to cash flow per share. In this case, it's the price to sales, the sales per share. So let's just do one more. Let's just do the cash flow. So let's do the cash flow. Copy that. I'm going to paste that in here. Not that I need to, but I'm going to do that anyway. And we see the historical price to cash flow per share. Again, I calculated it using the value line, go back 5 years, and so that's 13. The cash flow per share is $10.69. Now, wait a minute. Disney earnings were $5.94. How come their cash flow is $10.69? How come they're bringing in more cash than their earnings? How can that be? Well, we've discussed this, and typically we're going to discuss it even more when we get to the next chapter after next week, starting next week. It has to do with the fact that earnings are calculated according to generally accepted accounting principles, and that allows us to lower our earnings and pay fewer dollars in taxes by taking certain deductions, which really aren't cash expenditures. The most common of these is the depreciation. So Disney spent, you know, $1 billion for the last year making these films that they're going to sell for the next 60 years. They can't take the whole amount and deduct it from their earnings. They have to depreciate that over time. So as they make what are called capital expenditures, they build up this depreciation that they take advantage of over 20, 30, whatever many years. So even though their earnings are $5.94, and that's what they report to the IRS, they really brought in $10.69. Okay, so that, you know, and those of you who are accountants, you are familiar, or have taken accounting, you're familiar with this concept. So let's do this one. 13 historical PE, and again, the worksheet and the assignment sheet and the exam will tell you, if you do the bonus assignment, you're going to calculate it yourself, times $10.69 times 1.09 gives us $151.4773, or basically 48 cents. Close enough. Questions, thoughts? Did I do that right? Make sure I did it right, because I make mistakes a lot, especially as I get older. The third one is exactly the same, except we're going to use price to sales. So let's skip that one. Realizing that, remember, the answer keys are on the website, so you can always go back and check to make sure you did this right. Now, the next problem is a utility. If you see utility, and this is where you'll see it after the price models, you know that you're going to use the zero growth model. Why? Because companies like utilities pay consistent dividends. Now, sometimes they raise their dividends, sometimes they lower them, but sometimes we see that they have consistently been paying the same dividend for several years. So now, AEP is selling for $98. And it's been consistently paying $2.80 in dividends. If we require 5%, how much will we be willing to pay? Well, that is going to be the zero growth model. We simply take the annual dividends and divide the required rate of return, what we expect from the stock. So that formula looks like this. Value of the stock is equal to the annual dividends. Whoops, not that's all I wanted to do. Divided by the annual rate of return. So if the annual... I'm sorry? Somebody might want to mute their sound there. So we take $2.80 divided by 0.05. Then what we see is $2.80 divided by 0.05, or $56. So, wait a minute. It's selling for 98. What is it really selling for? Let's see what American... It went down quite a bit, too. $76. So it's taking a big haircut. But still, our model is telling us that we think it's overvalued. In other words, we're not going to get 5%. And the dividend yield is... If we calculate the dividend yield, and that's one of the things we did in Chapter 5... And the dividend yield is equal to, tab key isn't working very well. The dividend yield is basically the same formula turned around, played around with. We take the annual dividends and we divide that by the market price. This is one of the calculations that's in Chapter 5 and will be on the exam. So if we take the $2.80, and if I'm losing you here, just stop and think about it because it's not that hard. Divided by the what was the market price was $76. Let's do the $98 that was what it was when we did this a month ago, a little over a month ago. So $2.80 divided by 98. It was at the time paying 2.857%. But now, that was, February. But now we get $2.80 divided by $76. And we get 3.6842%, or 68%, let's say. So if we're going to invest in American Electric Power and we believe that the company's really not going to be growing, this is what we can reasonably expect to get, because we don't expect the capital gains. We don't expect the company stock to go up. We're literally buying the stock just because of the return. Now, that's pretty paltry, folks, for utilities. Utilities are used to paying 4, 5, 6%, but these days, with the 10-year Treasury bond paying less than 1%, maybe it's gone above 1% now, but it's like 0.7%, and the 30-year bond paying 2% or something, that's actually not that bad. Again, my internet connection is unstable. Why is that? I'm hooked right to the... I don't understand why that is. Okay, so let's... because that was a zero growth model. The next category of problems will be a problem where a company is growing its dividend at a constant rate. And what formula is that? The constant perpetual growth model. Can we make it any more plainer, right? We're going to do them in exactly the same order. So let's copy this whole thing just for giggles here. Put that in there. You don't have to do what I'm doing right now, but I'm just doing it to make life a little bit easier. And so when we see a situation, waste management, I remember talking about waste management on Tuesday. That's a company that I really like. Why is that? Well, because 30 years from now, are people still going to be, who knows what's going to happen with cell phones, and they'll be internalized, they'll be in your arm. I don't know what's going to happen. But will Facebook and Twitter be the, maybe still... But I do know that somebody's going to be picking up the trash 30 years from now. And that's why we like companies like Waste Management Incorporated. So they were selling about a month ago for $117 a share. Let's see what they're down to now. $90. So they've had a big hit. 90 bucks a share. And they're paying $2.18 per year. What we've seen is that they've been growing their dividends over time. So when you see that, you use the constant perpetual growth model, which is a silly name because it seems like the Department of Redundancy Department, constant perpetual. But it definitely is the formula we want to use. If our required return is 9%, what would we consider this a good investment? So how do we do this? We take the annual dividends, which are $2.18, times 1 plus the growth rate of 6% for the dividends. And then, divide that by the 9% minus the 6%. So let's do that. $2.18. Times 1.06, 1.06, $2.22.6. Anybody get that? And we divide that by, and I can do this in my head, 9% minus 6% is 3%, or 0.03. Divide that by 0.03. And we get 74 bucks $1.20 or so. Now, at the price it was a month ago, $117, maybe we're not going to get 9%. But now the price, as we said, was $90. So we're getting closer. What if we just simply lower our expected rate of return to 7%? Watch what happens. If we simply change our required rate of return to 7%, this becomes 0.01, 7% minus 6, and you get $222.60. Now, do you see what happens if you simply just change your required rate of return? These models are extremely sensitive to that. And so we have to realize that, because sometimes you'll get very strange results. If you said, look, this is growing at 6%, and I just want 6%, you're going to get division by zero. You're going to get, your calculator's going to scream and holler at you. You can't do that calculation. If you wanted 5%, then you're going to get a negative number because this bottom is going to be negative. And that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So we have to be careful with these models. They are very imprecise by default. We discussed that. We know that these things are incredibly...
I have a quick question.
Sure, please.
So it was from the last question. My phone was on mute, and I guess I had to go through settings to fix it.
That's okay.
But pretty much for the zero growth, how do I know if it's zero growth? I don't recall it saying zero growth in the question. Does it say zero growth, or maybe I just overlooked it?
Well, it doesn't say that. I want you to infer that. But when you see something, first of all, when you see it to utility, you know it's a zero growth model. And also, if you see something like this, it has been consistently paying $2.80 in dividends, and we expect it to continue to pay that. In other words, when we see a company who's not growing it, and they're not growing their dividends, they've been paying the same amount, then that's a zero growth model. So we want you to infer that. But remember, they're going to be in the exact same order as the worksheets. As the assignment sheet on the exam, they're all going to be in the exact same order. So just realize that after the price models, after the three price model problems, you're going to have a zero growth model problem. Does that make it easier?
Yes, that helps.
Yeah, I hope so. Okay, no, that's, I'm not trying to be snarky or anything, but just want to make sure we want you to go through the motion. Some of you might say, well, I've done this enough times. Good, do it more. Do it another bunch of other times. Because then the calculations will fall by the wayside, and the calculations will push you towards tilt you toward companies that are going to do well over the long term, not going to turn into a pool of tears, not going to make you rich overnight. And then, as we said at the end of the presentation, just throw away all the calculations. Ignore them. Just burn them. Shred them. And then ask yourself, do you really want to own this company? Do you want to be a... give yourself the 60-second, 90-second pep talk or un-pep talk why I want to sell this company. Okay, so now, that was the constant perpetual growth model. When you see something along these lines where the dividends for the next 3 years are expected to be this for 2020, 2021, 2022. Which model are we going to use? We're going to use the discounted cash flow model, which in my humble opinion is the most powerful and the one I use the most. And we have spreadsheets that we'll take a look at in just a bit. How are we doing for time? Not bad. Okay, so we take the present value of the dividends for the next 3, 4, 5 years. Going any further than that is ridiculous. You don't want to do that. It's hard enough to predict, 3 years than it is 5, than it is 10. Just don't even bother. And then what we do is we add to that the expected price of the stock when we plan to sell. Because the stock is a security that we can turn around and sell. I mean, we're used to that idea. But now we want to know whatever that's going to be in the future, that expected price, what is it worth to us today? And that is the present value of the expected price when we plan to sell it. So that's the problem you're going to see here. In this case, Yum Brands, and you know who they are. Kentucky Fried Rat, Pizza Garbage, Pizza Crap, Pizza Cut, and Taco Smell. Taco Bell. There's a cute video. I don't know how I got sent in my mailbox, but the cute video of Mexicans eating Taco Bell for the first time. And some of them are impressed. They kind of like it, I guess, because in Mexico now, fried tacos are called Dorado, Tacos Dorado. And some of them are just, this is horrible. This is not a taco. This is, you know, they're used to the Mexico City, Tijuana soft tacos. And so it's a cute video. Just look it up. And they do one, Chinese people eating Chinese, you know, American Chinese food for the first time. And some of them like it, and some of them go, this is terrible. So Yum Brands used to be owned by PepsiCo. Pepsi used to own them, and they spun them off. I think they still own a ton of the stock, though. So how do we deal with this? Well, if you went through the presentation or if you've gone through the worksheets, you'll notice that I like to use a table. So I'm going to insert a table, and we need four columns and five rows. And you can always change it after you've done that. Whoa! It put it not in the best place. Okay, so let's kill that. I want it here. Sorry about that. I was not in the right place. Insert table, four columns, five rows down. There, that's better. And so my columns are going to be the years, the future cash flows that we expect from this stock, the present value multipliers, and then the discounted cash flows. Now, I know that might sound silly, but that's the term we use. We are going to take those future cash flows and discount them for our rate of return. Or another way of looking at that is we bring them back to the present. What are they worth to us today? So the years, it tells us we're going to do 2020, 2021, and 2022. So 2020... 2021, 2022. And what do we expect in the first year? $1.88. In the second year, we expect to see $2. And in the third year, we expect to see $2.12 in terms of dividends. Now, obviously, we did this before the organic matter hit the Ventolin device. Do you believe Yum Brands is going to be able to increase their dividends over the next 3 years? The answer is no. I mean, considering that most all of them are shut, I really feel for the franchise owners, right? The company is a large multinational company, but the franchise owners are individual businesses. Oh boy, they're just, and all their employees. Oh, what a mess we're in. So, let's assume that this didn't happen, which it did, but let's see, it was $89. Let's see what Yum is selling for now. Some of them are opening back up in, over 20% down. Some of them are opening up in China again. So that's, I don't know if that's a good sign. We'll see if the virus comes roaring back. So now we believe, or Valueline tells us, or whatever, that it's going to be worth $110 in 3 years. So we can consider that $110 as a future cash flow. And to make life easy, so we only have to do one multiplication calculation, we add these two together. Does everyone see that right there? What we did right now? Okay, good. Now, here's where the present value multipliers come into play. We desire a rate of return of 11%. Well, at first, we want you to do it manually using the present value tables. But after we do this, we can show you the spreadsheets that are on the website. And you can use those spreadsheets to do it just like that, just incredibly quickly. But we want to make sure you understand what's going on. So for 11% year one, there's the present value multiplier. 11% year number two, there's the present value multiplier. and 11%, you're number three. So let's see if you can remember that. 0.909, 0.812, and 0.731. I know I'm going to forget. 0.901, wasn't it? Not 909. 901, it should be. 0.832 and 0.712. I forgot. No, I forget it. 812 and 731. Yeah. 812 and 731. Let's make sure I did that right. 901. 909 is 10%. 812, 731. There we go. So now, we call them present value multipliers because we then use those to multiply times the future cash flows to get the discounted cash flows. In other words, what is that $1.88 that we're getting a year from now worth to us today? So 1.88 times 0.901, and I get $1.69388. And you don't even have to be close. You don't have to use all those digits of accuracy. $1.69 would be fine. And then over here, $2 times 0.812 is 1.624. Yeah, that's what I got. And then $2.12. I'm sorry, $112 and 12 cents times 0.731, and you get $81.95972. So these three future cash flows are worth to us today these amounts. So now add them up. I'm going to add the 81.95972 plus 1.69388 plus 1.624, and I get approximately, again, we're not trying for precision, $85.2776, or about basically, oops, it's supposed to be an O, 8520, whatever, close enough. So now, at the price about a month ago, this was, you know, not quite great, but not bad considering we set it up for 11%. But now that it's selling for $66, maybe it's a good time to think about it. But of course, we have to be prepared for incredible volatility because of the coronavirus and the fact that it's going to take a while for these people to get back on their feet and sell you garbage. I mean, food that is incredibly unhealthy. Healthy for you to grow your bone obesity. I've got your bones. You sense a little bit of anger or whatever. No, not just that. It's just that they don't do well for you, folks. They're selling you sugar, fat, and salt, and it's very profitable for them and for us as investors, but stuff's not good for your health. Anyway, what if we simply changed it to 10% or 8%? Well, darn it, that means we got to do all these calculations all over again, right? That's why after you've done these calculations manually a few times, then you're going to want to take a look at the spreadsheet, because then all you got to do is change 11% to 10%, and the spreadsheet does it for you. Okay, and we'll do that after we're done with the last problem here. Any questions on that one? Because we want you to do that one over and over and over again. We want you to do this discounted cash flow problems over and over. And if you were in the Janet, who else? Anybody else? Janet's here, but there was a few other people. Maybe a couple of people who were in the investment club last year, in last spring, where we did these, I don't know, like 3 or 4 times. We took the whole hour and went through Coke versus Pepsi, FedEx versus UPS, Visa and MasterCard, and we looked at the cash flows. And, you know, some of them were pretty darn enticing. You know, you weren't going to get 10, 11, 12%, but 8, 9, 10%, as I remember, was something that was doable. until the coronavirus hit. Oh, well. Now, here's a real company, dear students. This is a company that I've been following a little while. I'd never invested. I'm glad I didn't, because these are the companies that used to be suckers for. These small biotech companies based here in San Diego. This one's actually up in Irvine, I think. And this company, check it out. They've got some patents on teeth cleaning, whitening technologies. Don't people love, vanity, all is vanity. But so far, they haven't been able to turn it into a profitable enterprise. And their price keeps going down and down. And let's see what they are now. They were 63 cents a month ago. BioLace. They went down below 50%. Holy mackerel. Oh, it does look like BioLace is going down to porcelain oasis. Look at their market cap. They're down to $8 million. I'm sorry? What did someone say? They're losing 77 cents last year, and the stock is only worth 27 cents. So, yeah, this might be it for BioLace. They might be going down the porcelain oasis. But if you look at Yahoo's estimate is still $2.42 next year. They think it's still going to come back, and they think it's going to zoom ahead. But now, oh, no. Long term, a few people are saying, okay, it's going to do okay. But short term, it's going to continue to go down and down and down and down. But anyway, so let's take a look at them. We think it'll be $6 in 5 years. So that the analysts are saying next year it's going to be $2.38, but we think it's going to be $6 in 5 years, and maybe we need to have our temperature checked because we were getting delirious. If our desired rate of return is 14%, would this be a good buy? Well, how can we do this calculation? There's no dividends, so obviously, anytime you have zero dividends, the present value of zero is zero. So you have no reason to do the calculation. But what we're going to do essentially is the last line that we did up here for Yum Brands. We're going to do it for 5 years. So $6 in 5 years. Oops, supposed to be 5 years. At 14%. Well, which multiplier do we use? We go to the present value multipliers, 14% for 5 years is 0.519. So we multiply that $6 times 0.519, and we believe the stock is worth today, assuming it turns into $6 in 5 years, 6 times 0.519, or $3.11, basically. So potentially it's not a bad company to further our research, but the reality is these are the kind of companies that will turn your $1,000 maybe into $50,000 if they strike it rich, or probably into 50 cents. And so how would you characterize this potential investment with regard to its risk versus reward profile? We would say this is highly speculative. It's not likely to turn a profit, and you'd be best to just stay away unless you really, really believe that people are going to start buying their technology to whiten their teeth. Okay, so what I hope you have seen by looking through these real companies is that if you tilt your portfolio towards the Waste Managements of the world and the Disneys and the Yum Brands and away from the BioLace technologies of the world, you're going to hold up better, maybe down 10, 20, 30% in a bad bear market as opposed to over 50% as what's happened to BioLace, who might never come back again. And so you might lose everything if you stick with them. Questions, thoughts, ideas? So we've gone through the worksheet number two. All right, well, now what I want to show you is how to use the spreadsheet, because that's cool. And if we go back to the presentation. Where's my website? Okay, I must have deleted it. I'm going to go to Wonder Professor, and I'm going to go down to the worksheets in Chapter 6. Well, don't forget the worksheets in Chapter 5. Go through the worksheets. Where are they? Worksheets? No. Don't forget the worksheets in Chapter 5. Here are the commentaries, answer keys. Very simple. We said what we're going to do is we're going to do the price-to-earnings ratio, dividend payout ratio, dividend yield, and market capitalization. So if you go through those, make sure you go through those. So now, notice that we have the Pretzels Unlimited, that's from the presentation, and then the Jimba Jamba Jumba Juice discounted cash flow spreadsheet. So I'm going to click on that, and now it's going to say, hey, you know, you can't goof with this. Wait a minute. Yeah. Oh, no. For some reason, who am I logged into? No, I don't have access. I don't have access to view only. Right, it's view only. So I'm going to make a copy. And again, we're going to call it that incredibly demonstrative name. Copy of Chapter 6, Worksheet Number 1 Spreadsheet. And so this case, we'll redo this for Yum Brands. And watch, it's very simple. You just make a copy and use it over and over and over again. So this is Yum Brands. And I remember it was it $1.18? No, wait, let's go back. My apologies. $1.88, $2, and $2.12. So $1.88, $2, and $2.12. And now we add to this, we have to use an equal sign because it's plus $110, was it? I think it was $110. Let's make sure. $110. So it should be $112. Now, notice that the price was, so what, $117? What was the price? I can't remember anything. Price was $189. So let's put you don't have to put that in there. Just wants you to put it in there. Now notice, I'm going to get rid of these guys. Okay. The expected rate of return was 10%. If I just change it to 11%, the thing recalculates. $85. If I change it to 7%, it tells me it's worth $95. So you see, we don't have to go back and retype in those present value multipliers and do the calculations. It does it for us. The spreadsheet makes life a whole lot easier. So make a copy of this spreadsheet and use it over and over and over again for dozens of companies, and you will be on your way toward identifying companies that should do very well for you over the long term, assuming we survive the coronavirus. questions and thoughts about that? Now, the next page is we discussed the internal rate of return. And this is something that it's not going to be on the exam. Okay, not going to be on the exam. And we are, we got about 25 minutes left to go. So we could now discuss internal rate of return, which is something you will see in an upper level investment class or a graduate level investment class as you go on in your education. But you don't really need to learn how to do it, because that's why we have spreadsheets. The spreadsheet does it for us. So we could continue with that. What else could we do? We could go back to Chapter 5, go through the Chapter 5 study guide and notes, go through those. If you have any questions on those, do one of the worksheets in Chapter 5. They're very simple calculations. What else? What else did I have on the tab? We talked about the exam. Yeah. So that now and we could.
Will we be able to? I have a question. Will we be able to use the formula sheet for the test?
Oh yeah, of course, of course. We want you to have the formula sheet. In the even if we were still face to face, I pass out the formula sheets and the present value tables. And of course, you could bring your own. But no, we want you to have a page of notes or 2 pages of notes or 5 pages of notes. I mean, I don't think you're going to need 5 pages of notes. But certainly, we want you to have the tools at your disposal. We don't want you to memorize these formulas, folks. No, we don't want you to do that.
With the Chapter 5 worksheet, is that using the same formulas? Correct.
The Chapter 5 worksheets. We went through those problems. We can do them again. Let's see where we are here. Let's go through. I'm gonna go back here. Let's go back to Chapter 5. The first, this is review. The first worksheet was, let's take a quick look at it, basically asking you, about the markets themselves. The New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ. They're the only ones we really want to worry about. The American Exchange is, every once in a while you'll see something on there. But stay away from these guys. Stay away. Where is BioLace going to wind up if it doesn't turn around? The NASDAQ is eventually going to say, you guys got to go away because your price is down to penny stocks. We don't want you. And they're going to wind up over here, which is really sad because they're a real company trying to make it. They're not a scam company, but obviously they're not making it. And they're probably going to go through bankruptcy and someone's going to buy up the patents and, liquidate the stock. Now, make sure you know these guys. Remember the market indices? Remember the very important market indices, the Standard & Poor's 500, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, the NASDAQ Composite, the EFA, the World Index, the Russell 2000, the Wilshire 5000, Wilshire 4500, which is what I call them because I can't remember, Dow Jones U.S. Total Stock Market Index. But those are going to be on the exam, okay? Now, worksheet number 2. We again asked you about what companies would you expect to see on the NASDAQ or in New York Stock Exchange. And then don't forget, we want you to know about these stock types. Some of you turned in Chapter 5 assignment without putting in the stock types in the last column. And I told you, don't worry about being perfect. Sometimes the company doesn't fit in any category. Sometimes they fit in 2 or 3 categories. And sometimes two people might fight over whether or not this company belongs in a certain category or not. So there's a fight going on about whether they belong in there. So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. As long as you do your best guess, and obviously if it's a company like Walmart, don't make them into a penny stock. Okay. So don't do silly stuff. But where would you put Walmart? Blue chip, right? Blue chip, we would consider them blue chip. They're one of the biggest companies in the world. They're cyclical because they're a retail outlet, and retail outlets are normally cyclical, but they're a bit of counter-cyclical. At least they were in the last recession. They actually did better in the recession in 2008 and 9 because people stopped buying at the JCPenney's and the Macy's and went down to the Targets and the Walmarts. And so they actually held up better than other retailers. Did you notice Macy's is disappearing, folks? Macy's is going to be gone. They furloughed virtually all of their 125,000 employees, and the stock has been removed from the Standard & Poor's 500. So, and probably JCPenney's is next. So it's sad, but it's capitalism. The world moves. Okay, next, these three calculations. Very straightforward. Price divided by earnings, PE ratio, dividend payout ratio, dividend divided by earnings, dividend yield, dividend divided by the market price. So these will be on the exam. Remember, there's a worksheet, answer key, and a commentary. So we could do those now if you wanted to, but we don't have to because you know how to do these. Right? Any questions? Any thoughts? Any comments? Okay. So now, and then the last worksheet number 3, asks you to go through the market capitalization. And that's a little tricky because of all the zeros involved. Let's just do one. So first I have to make a copy so I can edit it, because at first you can't edit it. And then the market capitalization is equal to... Okay, Imani, you want to mute your audio there. Equals the proc stock. Oh, somebody said. So, stock price times the number of shares. The world is not a it's not a fair place there, darling. That's for sure. Okay, so stock price is equal to 144.30. What do you make a bet that stock price is anywhere near? Let's see what it wound up. Where is the stock? There it is. Where's Marriott? Whoa, 50% down. Woo, more than 50%. Wait, yeah, 50%. No, wait, no. Not quite 50% down. 100. That would be 130. So it's about 40% down. Yikes. Okay, so $144.34 times 326.94 million shares. Now, what I suggest, and this is what we did, don't try to put all the zeros in there. Just take 144.35 times 326.94, and you get 37.385.589 million, and you can leave it just like that. That's the right answer. That's right. But that's not what you're going to see. What you're going to see when you look up the market capitalization is 37.4 billion with a capital B, or maybe they'll write out billion. Okay, so either one is correct. But look, they're now almost half of that. That's exactly what, oh my goodness. So some people are, who knows, what's going to, Marriott's going to survive, aren't they? We'll see. Anyway, is this a large cap company, a small cap, or a mid cap, or a small cap? There's, again, some areas of discussion and some it's a difference of opinions. But we said that we'll continue with any company that's greater than $10 billion, that's a large cap company. Any company between five to $10 billion or so, four or five to $10 billion, actually we said $3 or $4 billion. Now they're saying five. But let's say $3 or $4 billion up to $10 billion is a mid cap, and anything lower than $2 billion is a small cap. So this guy is a large company. And let's see what Yahoo says they're down to. 21.26 billion. So they've really taken a big haircut. And so Marriott International, I don't know. We'll see what happens. Ooh, this is going to be ugly. This is ugly. So questions on that? So the other ones will the other one there'll be something just like that. It'll ask you to do how many the stock price times the number of shares. And then is it a large cap, medium cap, mid cap, or small cap? So that was Chapter 5 calculations. And remember, as we said, there's a commentary and an answer key for each one. Okay, how are we doing for time? Not bad, we still got about 13 minutes left. Questions, comments, criticisms, suggestions? Let's go back to the chat. Okay, is it a good investment? I don't know. Is what a good investment, Justice? Okay, I don't see any comments here other than I remember that. Okay, so what next?
I believe she was asking, was it a good investment when you were doing the chart?
Well, it's which one? Not sure which one we're in. Some of them looked pretty good at certain rates of return. Others didn't look so good. But remember, let's go back to the presentation. I'm going to share the screen. I'm going to go back to the presentation for chapter 6. And once again, hammer at you the idea. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Why did you do that? I thought I had it set up. Okay, so I'm going to... This might mess up a little bit. It's... Okay, present. Viewer, audience. And then close that. And it should be loading. There it goes. So I'm going to go to the very end. And I'm going to ask... Once we have finished all our evaluation calculations, what should we do? Should we really place much value in our predictions? The answer is no. No. We're going to ignore them, hurl them into the vast ocean, shred them into millions of little pieces of confetti, and burn them. We do these calculations to simply tilt the odds in our favor. Instead of placing any significance in our predictions, after we have finished, we should ignore them, ask ourselves a very simple question. Do I want to own this company? Do I really want to own Nike? Or Waste Management? Or Walmart? Or Yum Brands? Or BioLace Technologies? Do I want to be a partner in their success? Warren, I think we said this on... Yeah, of course we said this. Because it bears to be said over and over again. Warren Buffett says, look, if you could buy FedEx, if you had enough cash to buy FedEx, because he does, right? He has billions of dollars at his disposal. Would you buy the entire company? And if the answer is yes, go ahead and buy 10 shares or 5 shares or 100 shares or whatever. And then we said what Peter Lynch did when he was running Magellan, Fidelity Magellan Mutual Fund. He had a three-ring binder for each and every company that he investigated, and there were hundreds. And he would hold it up, and he would close the three-ring binder, hold it up in his hand, and give himself the 60-second pep talk or 90-second story about the company, about why he wants to own it or why he doesn't want to own it or why he wants to look at their competitors. And then after that, he often would make his decision about whether to buy or sell. And so we end with a great quote about calculating the valuation of companies. The problem is it is easy to confuse the capability to make precise forecasts with the ability to make accurate forecasts. Right? Sure, the numbers that we're doing sure do look precise, don't they? Well, just do your best to ignore that precision. Because any attempt to value businesses with precision will yield values that are precisely inaccurate. We know going in beforehand that there's a 99.99% chance that this isn't what it's going to be in 3 years. We know that. So why do we do it? Why do we do these calculations? These calculations help us identify companies that are prudent, long-term oriented investments. They won't make us wealthy quickly, but they should make us wealthy. And I have a client who's just very, very wise. And he says, look, I don't have to win big. I just have to win. I don't have to worry about beating the guy next to me or being the next Peter Lynch, although I hope some of you are. I just have to participate in the success and the prosperity of the global economy and hope that we do beat this virus sooner than later. And see, what we don't see in the news are any positive. Maybe we're seeing a couple. We're seeing a couple, but what I'm looking forward to is having Johnson & Johnson or some other biotech company. Maybe Abbott Labs came up with a new test that people are really excited about. But I'm looking forward to a company come up. So we got it. We got the cure. Or we got the vaccine. This is going to do it. And you're going to see people just going to change 180 degrees when that happens. Now, some people are saying, relax, it's not going to happen for at least a year. We don't know that. It could happen a whole lot sooner. There's a company here in San Diego, I forget who they are, but they were able to come up with a vaccine in 3 hours. Now, we don't know the darn thing's going to work or not. That's going to take months, and it might not be safe. Who knows? It might turn your liver into mush or whatever. But it shows that we're going to win. We're going to beat this damn virus. And when we do, the markets are going to come roaring back. I believe people are going to be back out. Well, we'll see. It might take people. We're hearing all the doom and gloom now. And, you know, they might be right. What is the one saying by Peter Lynch? You know, sometimes it's darkest before the dawn. And other times it's darkest before it's pitch black. And, you know, we might lose, but I don't think so. I'm very, very optimistic. I don't know if I'm going to be here, if I'll survive that, because I'm old. But I'm doing my best to stay in. Notice I haven't shaved in a few several days. I haven't got my hair cut yet. And so, how are we doing for time? Okay, I'm wasting time. I apologize. But that's the key. That's the key. We don't do these just so that you can. So that we can say, oh, look at this number. We're sure this number. No, we're sure that it's not right. Okay, last questions. Any last questions? Let's go back to the thing and see if we can remember that. All right, no. Okay, so why don't we real quickly go to the internal rate of return, because I think this is so cool. And we'll come back to it later on in this semester. But here's an example. Okay, let's see if I can. Why did this do that? I guess it times out after a while. I set it up so that it would be in presentation mode, and then it did, then it went back loading. Okay, here's an example. Come on, get out of here. Okay, here's an example of what you will have in store for you if you take investments and finance at the university level. Note, this material is not going to be on the exam. It is not, and we're only going to do the first couple of slides here. If you recall, the value of a stock is based on the present value of its future cash flows. We have been using dividends and the stock price, but this can work to anything. We can calculate the present value of a future stream of income from any source, from real estate, factories, bridges, water projects, nuclear reactors. And what we do is we use the discounted cash flow model, but of course we don't use the present value tables and then do this for 20 years or 30 years or 50 years, whatever it is. We use the spreadsheet. And so here's the Pretzels Unlimited. So let's remember this guy, Pretzels Unlimited, and we use the internal rate of, oh, this is the present value. So I'm doing this all wrong. I should just go back and show you the what happened to that guy? Here it is. So what happens here? So I should just show you the spreadsheet. If we got the if we go back to the Yum Brands, and the price was $89.50, so we go $89.50 here. What we're saying is this: where over here we did the calculations using the present value tables. The spreadsheet did the calculations for us. That was very nice of it. But over here, we're going to use internal rate of return. We paid into our system $89.50. So the internal rate of return, you have to use negative cash flows. In other words, outflows. What did you have to pay to get this investment? We didn't do that in our presentation, in our worksheet problems. But we could. We could do that, and that would give us a different number. But here, $89.50 is what we had to pay to get the stock. Actually, as we said, what was the stock? What is it now paying? Let's go do what it really is now. Yum Brands. $66.58. But of course, we should redo the the dividends then. But let's say $66.58. So if we do, we paid $66.58 now, and we get $1.80. In this year, $2 next year, and then we're able to get $2.25 and $0.75 for our price of the stock. Then we come over here and we say, okay, here are the cash flows, the negative and positive cash flows. We had to pay $66.58, and then we get $1.80, $2.77.25. So here's the formula. Internal rate of return, C4 to C7. If you're not familiar with spreadsheets, it's going to be a little, what am I doing, what am I doing? Don't worry, it's just, it's like a big, you know, bingo game. C4 to C7, and then I put in 10%, 0.1, as my guess. You don't have to put it. You can leave it zero or just leave it blank, and the computer will do its best to try to figure it out. But I figure it's going to give us 10%. And what the computer came back and says, no. It's only going to, this is what happens. If you pay $66.58 and you get this amount, you're only going to get 6.95%, which isn't bad. You know, it's not bad, but it's not the 10% we thought it was going to be. And we can use this. We're not going to do it today because it just takes too much time right now. We'll do it later on in the semester because it's very, very cool. We can use this type of spreadsheet to do anything, to do a rental property or a bridge or a water, you know, water plant or a nuclear reactor or a factory. And this is what you will learn how to do when you get to upper level classes in investments at the university and in graduate level. And, you know, it used to be tedious and time-consuming because you didn't have spreadsheets, but now we have computers and spreadsheets, and now you just type in the darn numbers and it tells you. Cool. Okay, so we're about ready to finish up. We still have 27 people here, so I'm going to stop the share, and I'm going to come back to the... Justice. Yeah, Justice was talking about the Mr. Lozano. I believe we're already in a global recession. I think he's right, Ruben. I think we won't know until a few months from now. But I think Mr. Ruben is absolutely correct. We're already in a global recession. Now, Justice was talking about the Yum Brands. Well, the Yum Brands model was telling us it wasn't that great of an investment. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. But We have to literally throw out the numbers that we had, because we were assuming that the world had not changed in the past month, and the world has changed. So is it reasonable to assume we're going to get those dividends going into the future? I would submit to you that it is not. I don't think we're going to get those dividends. I think Yum Brands and a bunch of other companies are going to say, look, sorry, we need this cash just to keep the doors open, to keep paying the people that we didn't lay off. And so we can't be giving out dividends over the next 2-3 years. So I think basically all bets are off. I think basically what you're doing now is looking for companies. If you're looking to buy now, you're looking for companies or mutual funds that have very high quality, that are the bluest of the blue chips, so to speak, and are going to survive the next few years. Because now the next year or so is about survival. Who can survive? And, of course, taxpayers are going to be asked to pony up a bunch of money. We already are. And it's going to be a tough time. There's no doubt about that. So, Mr. Justice, I don't know. Would you call this a black... Oh, yeah, they that's the term you'll hear, black swan. Well, you know, there have been people for many years saying we have to prepare for this. We have to prepare for this. But, you know, we're humans. We tend to have a short-sightedness. You know, someday there's going to be a huge earthquake in California. It's going to cause hundreds of billions of dollars of damage. But we say, you know, okay, it might not happen for another 50 years, 500 years. If it happens now, we'll deal with it. But really, the state of California has spent tons of money to get people to prepare for an earthquake, and none of us listen to them. We've done a few things at our home, but yeah, I know what's going to happen. We're going to lose our chimney's going to come down that was built before the modern post 1970, and so I know that chimney's coming down. So well, we're not going to rebuild it. And this, we knew there was going to be a pandemic someday. We didn't know when it was going to happen, but now we're dealing with it. So yeah, I guess they'd call it a black swan event. Some people might call it a white swan event. Something you knew was going to happen, you just didn't think it was going to happen. Any other questions? Any other thoughts? Okay, so what I'm going to do now, because we're over time, my apologies. I'm going to stop the recording. I'm going to stop. How do I stop the recording? Hello, more. Okay, stop recording. And then I'll stick around for those of you. Yeah, you're right. This only happens once in 100 years. Last time it happened was 1918, right? Yeah, right, exactly. Well, it's happened since then. We've had other serious illnesses, but none of them as widespread as this. Until you go back to 1918 and the Spanish flu. Okay, so I'm going to stop the recording. Polio was scary also. Exactly. Polio was another one. Nature is sometimes rough. So I'm going to stop the recording. I'll stick around for quite some time. If any questions, we can go over worksheet number one, if that's what some people want to do, or ask questions about chapter five. Will we have the investment club meeting today? You know, I haven't heard anything, and I was thinking of having an investment club meeting online, of course, using Zoom. But I didn't contact. I should have. I apologize. I should have contacted Georgina. But what I did do is I contacted Brittany, who was supposed to show up today, and said, you know, I don't think we're having a meeting today, but in the future, would you like to meet online? She goes, yeah, that's what I've been doing. I've been meeting people online. Okay, so I'm going to stop the recording. I'll stick around, and we'll start another recording, and because we already have worksheet number one on recording, but we can do it again. I'm going to stop the recording, folks. Thank you so much. I'm proud of you. Be awesome. Take the exam. Contact me for questions. Don't wait until Sunday evening to take the exam, please. Okay, stopping the recording. See you all online in the future.
Hey, Frank, I have a question.
Sure.
For the investment club.
The recording has stopped.